Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf. Chulin Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel. We are seven lines off the top and back to the Matonis, right? Izraya, the forearm, Lechayayim, lower jaw with the tongue, and the Keva, one of the animal's stomachs, which are given to a Kayin. So in one Shechts, his own private animal, he gifts these three sections to a Kayin. Now, as we learned yesterday, we're meant to be somewhat selective in terms of choosing our recipient. It should be a Kayin who appreciates it, who's committed to the cause, to the Avoida of the Kahuna. Here comes another stipulation. Amar Ab Abba, Amar Ab Hun Amar Ab. Chutin Shebelechi Asurim. You're meant to know that the string, the arteries, these veins within the Lechi area are filled with blood, laden with blood, and may not be consumed. And therefore, before you give it to a Kohen, make sure that he appreciates it, that he knows how to remove it. B'chol Kohen she'eni yodea litlan, if a Kohen is not proficient in how to extract these problematic elements, ein nosen l'matana, you don't give him matana. B'loi, that's not a concern, says the Gemara. Look, the blood in any case gets sucked out, gets dissolved. Ibatabi, if he's going to roast it, meidav davi, the blood just trickles out. Ibili kader, if he's going to cook it, ideally meant to roast it, as we learned yesterday, in gourmet style, but if he actually ends up cooking it, okay, idem michtadu malachlu, if he cuts it up and he salts it, meidav davi, in any way it's going to dissolve and, you know, the blood will just trickle out. So it is not especially concerning. He'll just treat it like, you know, the other meats, ensure that the blood is out. You don't have to execute a special, you know, nikur, a special extraction process, just a regular roasting / salting system. Omar Rava. Says Rava, Badak lan Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef presented us with a challenge question. I have a question for you. Hai kahana de chotiv matanto. So the animal owner shechted the animal decided to send his matanais with a kid over to the Kayin. En route, comes along another Kayin and snatches it. Haikahana the chotef, he snatches the matanta. So although, really, it's up to the owner's discretion to choose his recipient, but the Chassam Sefer explains, look, he gave it up, he gave it to the kid who can't really guard his item, so it's like aveda midas, it's like a willful neglect. So halachically, the kohen could just snatch it. After all, he's a kohen and entitled, right? The question is this something commendable or not? Chabuvi kamachabiv mitzvah, is it a chibuv, an expression of dearness? Look, he likes matanis, the mitzvah so much that he grabs. Oizalzulik, perhaps just the opposite. It's degrading to go snatch it and treat it with disrespect. Oizalzulik kamizalzul b'mitzvah. So that's the question. Positive or negative? Upashat nalei. Says Rabbi, I responded to Rabbi Yosef. I resolved it based on a pasuk. V'nasan, right? You give it to the kohen. V'nasan, you give it. He doesn't grab it. He's not meant to come and take it. Amar Abaye. Abaye himself was a kohen, a descendant of Eli kohen. He says, let me give you a little perspective. Way back when, in the day, Meresh have a chatif namatant. I would actually snatch the matanis. I figured it was a show of endearness, of excitement for the mitzvah. Amina chabubi kama chabib na mitzvah. I'm showing chavivis for the mitzvah. And then, once I learned this drasha from the pasuk, which discourages this practice. Given the Shaman Allah, I heard the drasha of a nasan means, let him give it to you. Don't grab it. The kohen is not meant to take it on his own. So I stopped that practice. Michtav lechatifna, I no longer snatched it. But I would still gently suggest that he give it to me. Meima amri. I would tell them, havali, please give it to me. And this would be an expression of endearment for the mitzvah. But later on, I stop that practice as well. Why? But given the Shaman Lodestanya, I heard the Brisa regarding the sons of Shmuel, who was a Levi. So by Shmuel Navi's children, it says, Vayitu Achrei HaBotza, they strayed after, they were swayed by money, which almost sounds like they would steal money, but Rav Meir Omer, it doesn't mean literally it would take somebody else's money. Rather, Bnei, the sons of Shmuel, who were Levim, they merely asked for their portions, and even that is not appropriate. Chalkum shalu b'fiyam, they verbally asked. So once I got wind of this not being ideal, I stopped that as well. Meimar namilo, I mean, I wouldn't even say it, but I would accept. V'yoh, if they offer it to me, shakilna, I would take it. But then even that I stopped. Kivan de shemana lo desani, once I heard the brisa that discusses after Shimon HaTzadik passed away, there was no longer a bracha on the lechem apanim, it wouldn't satiate the kihanim, so the pious ones would just pull back. Hatznuim, the tznuim, moishchen, the sidem, they'll pull back, they wouldn't take. They would leave it for the others. Vagar geronim, the gluttonous ones, cholkim, they would allocate portions, they would take, you know, their chelik. So once I heard this, mishkol, namel, shakilna, I would stop taking. Tesis explains, because, you know, I would leave it for the kihanim who need it, who can use it better than I'm, you know, financially okay, I didn't need it as bad, so there's no point in me, you know, going in there and leaving, leave it for the others, except for once a year. Levar mimaliyam et kipuri. Once a year, Erev Yom Kippur, I would step in there and I would take matanis. Why? So that people are mindful that I'm a kohen, otherwise it's just going to be forgotten. Lachzuki nafshoi, to establish myself b'kahani as a kohen. So that's why at least once a year I would make sure to take my deserving, you know, portion. This way, it is known that in fact I'm a kohen. Ask the Gemara, why do you have to resort to that? What happened to other expressions of kahuna? What about nesias kapayim in shul? V'lifros yadeh. That would also be an expression of kahuna. Says the Gemara, Anse le idne, his time, his seder, his shir would interfere. He wouldn't make it to the shul on time for the, you know, for the, you know, for the berachas kainim, for the minion. So he wouldn't be able to do it. And rather, he would ensure at least once a year he would take the matanos to confirm himself as a kohen. Amar Rav Yosef. Here's an interesting arrangement, stock arrangement that a kohen, that only a kohen can do. So we have Hai Kahana, this Kayin, the Islay Tsurba Mirabon. He has this young Talmud Chacham as a neighbor, Bishr Vusay in his neighborhood. But Chikli Milsa, having a hard time financially. And this Kayin wants to help him out. So what should he do? Liske Le Matanta, a very convenient and effective way of lifting him out of his financial straits. Liske le matanta. He should be mezake to him, to the Talmud Chacham, who is not a kohen. He should grant him the matanos, meaning the zroya, lechayim bekeva, which are directed to this kohen. He should steer it over to the Talmud Chacham and have him take it. You realize that in contrast to truma, which is off limits to a Yisrael, matanos are different. Although they're meant to be given to a kohen, but in terms of the actual material, there's no holiness there. So technically, once the kohen gets it, he can forward it over to anybody, to this poor, you know, deserving Talmud Chacham. But the novelty here is that it never got to the kohen. It went directly from the butcher to the recipient. V'afakav d'layosu l'yad, it never got to the hands of the kohen. It was never delivered to the kohen. It can still work. But ma'akarei kohen levi, was speaking about a kohen levi. In this case, the point is the kohen. It's an expression, makari kunu levia. So in this case, the kohen is makari, meaning he's known and beloved, and he's very well liked by the people in town who were intending on giving him the matanis. In which case, the mefarshim explain, he can be zoicha even though he didn't take physical possession, because really the matanis are meant to go to the, you know, to the Sheva, to the Kehanim. It belongs to them, right? And if all the other Kehanim sort of relinquish their rights, because they know in any way, in any case, the butcher is going to give it to this Kain, so they sort of took their minds off it. So now by default, it reverts to this Kain, so it's like it's his. And once he owns it, he can direct it anyway, he can direct it to the Talmud Chacham. So interesting halacha, you can the Kohen can actually give away the Matanis before he even gets it. In fact, I have a story on this in this regard. Rava and Rav Safra, they both came to this place. Iklu Levei, they came to the house of Mar Yechna Brei, the son of Rav Chana Bar Adav. I'm going to say it was Levei Mar Yechna, the son of Brei, Rav Chana Bar Vizna. And for his esteemed guests, he prepared a lavish meal, Avalu Igla, a calf, Tulsa, third-born calf, a very special offering. And Rava had an interest in sampling the tongue. The tongue is part of the L'chayayim, goes to the Kohen. Sure enough, the local butler, the assistant there, was a Kohen. Amalei Rava L'sham, he said, Rava turned to the assistant over there, who was a Kohen. So he was a fellow who typically would get the matanis from his boss. And he says, you know what? This time, let us have it, please. Zaki le matantavi mezakadas. Allow us to take the matanis. The beinu lamecha, I would like to have a sampling of the lishna b'chardla. I'd like to eat some tongue with dressing, with mustard. Zaki le. So he went along with it. He gave it to them. So he gave it to them before he even took possession, right? As per the previous Gemara. What happened? Rava, in fact, proceeded, Achal, he ate. But Rav Safra held back, Lo Achal, he didn't eat. So what happened that night? Akriyul Rav Safra, Bechelma. Rav Safra, in his dream, had this vision that he was being read, he was being dictated a pasuk in Mishlei, which reads as follows, Mada beged, a worn-out garment, b'yom kara, on a cold day, is very ineffective. Another example of something ineffective and futile is chametz al neser. You pour vinegar on this earth, and it doesn't turn into clay. It just dissolves. A third example of futile efforts are v'shar bashirim. Shira means the Torah, so he sings, he expresses holy words of Torah. To an unappreciative person, alev ra, a person with a bad heart, not interested, not an understanding person, a waste of time. That's the message that he got in his dream. And he's trying to decipher it. What's the lesson? Asal kamedir Rav Yosef. So Rav Safra approaches Rav Yosef, who actually was the one who a minute ago told us the halacha that a kohen can redirect the matanis to a worthy recipient. So he suggested to Rav Yosef that maybe that's why he was being criticized in his dream, because he wasn't following Rav Yosef's opinion that this, that this is allowed. Why did Rav Safra hold back? He wasn't accepting of this opinion. Amarli says, Dilma Mishum Da'avri, maybe because I transgressed. I failed to accept Ashmata the Halacha, Demar, your Halacha, crying Hacha. That's why I was dictated this pasuk as a form of criticism. Amarli, so Rav Yosef says, No. There's a big difference between my halacha and this case. Totally different circumstance. I spoke about a kohen who, by his own volition, goes ahead and offers this to the... Here, he was sort of being forced into it. It's like a sort of a manipulation. I never meant that, that type of case. I never allowed this type of case. When I spoke, it was ba'acher. A kohen who is an independent person, unbeholden to the Talmud Chacham, out of his own free will, or his own goodness of his heart. But Shama, you're a servant here, he's an employee, and he's beholden to the Baal Karchi Mizaki, he did it against his will. Furthermore, another distinction, V'ki Amri Ana, also when I spoke about doing that, Lamad Le'efshalei, a fellow who's stuck in, financial crisis, okay, so you help him out, an occasional, diversion of the Matonis, but ideally, it's meant to go to the Kayan. But in our case, you didn't need this. You could have had other food to eat, so that's not allowable. Okay, so if Safra wants to know, so why was I criticized? Why was I given this drasha, this musar shmuz? Well, in my time, I cry, no, because why did they relate to me this pasuk, klape Rava? Actually, says Rav Yosef, was meant for Rava, to criticize him for what he did. No, but the cry in the Rava, so why didn't they dictate it to Rava? If it's meant for him, it should go to him. Says the Gemara, Rava Nozav Hava. Rava was in the status of Nozav. He was distanced from Shemaim. He wasn't getting direct messages. So it had to be done in an indirect way. Someone first should bring the Gemara in Tainus, where the whole story with the king there, and the Rava davened that it should rain in the middle of the summer, and the Malachi Chavala were very upset that he initiated such a miracle, and wanted to kill him, and he was saved, and because of that story he became a nozuf, and he wasn't getting direct messages. In any case, the point was just the opposite, that actually this was not a commendable arrangement. Okay, we speak about the elaboration of this pasuk, but what's the simple meaning of this pasuk? What's the simple message of this pasuk? Don't involve yourself in futile activities. Amrali, he says, b'shoyne l'tamal sheni hagan. The pasuk is advising against teaching Torah to a Talmud who is not deserving because of his negative character and practices. Rav, a person teaches a Talmud who is not fit for it, neifel b'gehenim, he ends up in Gehenim, shenemar, kol choyshech tamal tzfunov tachleu eish lenupach, that's the fire of Gehenim. For what? Yeira sarit, sarit is a Talmud Chacham, who's ra, who's undeserving for the to get the Torah Bahala. If ain't sarit el Talmud Chacham, sarit Talmud Chacham, shenemar, vasrid mashem mashem korei. And this is a sarit who's not deserving. So that's the result. Furthermore, Amar Abzeira, Amar Rav, kol ashoyin el Talmud sheni hagan, a person conveys Torah to a student who's not fitting. It's like tossing a stone at the pile of stones. You have a desirat, you're just adding a stone and enhancing, expanding that of a desirat. Likewise, a person pours valuable material, Torah, into an undeserving vessel, he's just filling and enhancing something inappropriate. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, kitzruer, like tossing the stone, right? Evan bar gema kenosin l'ksul kavod. Likewise, the person who gives kavod, what's kavod? Ben kavod al Torah. Kavod refers to Torah. Shenemar, kavod chacham min cholu usmim min cholu toiv. He gives kavod to a ksul, fool, undeserving person. Amar chacham chanina kol oisa toiv l'misheni yoida. Furthermore, on another note, a person puts in an effort and grants goodwill and toiva to one who doesn't really have any appreciation for it. So it's a waste of time. Kilo zarek evel markulis. Once again, it's like tossing the stone at the markulis. Shenemar kitzur evan uksiv loynavel uksil tanuk. Doing tanuk, something, you know, generous to uksil, who's not really going to make good use of it. It's pointless. Okay, back to the halacha of the Mishnah. So Yisrael u'shechtza v'ema separates the Yisroya, l'chayayim v'keva, right, the matanais, sends it to the local kohen. But if there's a partnership, so if the animal is partly owned by a kohen who's exempt, right, that exempts the entire partnership. Likewise, if it's a goy who's also exempt, if he partners with a yid, the animal is potter. But the Mishnah says to avoid any misconception, you're meant to tag the animal to indicate that in fact it's a partnership, and that's why you're not giving the matanis, lest people think that you just, you know, siphoning it off. You have to tag it. Says the Gemara, so this tagging requirement is even when partnering with a goy. We have a Bryce where it says that with a goy, don't worry about tagging it. If you partner with a kohen, and that is the reason for your exemption, you have to tag it and publicize it. But if you partner with a goy, and that's your reason for exemption, another example of an exception which need not be tagged. Upsula Mekdashim. Suppose this animal was a blemished carbon. It had Kedusha, then it got blemished, and it was sold, right? So that's also exempt from Matonis, as we had back in the Mishnah of Kuflamid. In both these cases, with the Goy and the Upsula Mekdashim, Ein Tzarach L'Rishon, don't need to tag it. Unlike our Mishnah, which tells us that even with a Goy, you have to tag it. How do we resolve this contradiction? Return to this. Well, Hachamai Eskina, this last brisa, which does not require tagging with a goy, is speaking to Yosef Oivit Kechom Amaschat. There's a strong indication that the goy is a partner. He's sitting there in the butcher store, making it evident that he's a partner. As opposed to the Mishnah, which is speaking that he wasn't sitting there. So it's not public after tag. Okay, the Gavasagavi Kayin. So in this recent Bryce, so we had three examples. By the Goy, by the Psuli, Hamikdashim, forget about tagging. But if the Kayin is a partner, you have to tag it. Now we're assuming it's a similar circumstance. So if he's sitting by the butcher store, so is the Kayin. So if his presence in the butcher store indicates partnership, so why, by the kohen, does he have to tag it? Right? Why is it different? The kavasa, correspondingly, gabi kohen. In the first case where the kohen is a partner, we're assuming the asa amaschati is also sitting at the butcher store. If it's evident that he's a partner, why do you have to tag it? Well, people might not draw the right conclusion. They'll say, well, he came as a customer. Who says he's a partner? The Amri Brisa Kazav, people will say he's coming to buy meat. Well, then by the goy as well, maybe he's buying kosher meat today. Yach, if that's the case, if that's the concern, there as well. Even if he's a partner and he's here, Amri, they'll say, okay, he's standing in line to buy meat, Brisa Kazav. Ella, oh. Hachab, my skin must be speaking to Yosef, must be that the guy, the partner, is sitting at the cash register, which indicates that he's a partner. Okay, he's in the coin as well. The coin, the Yosef akaspata, the guy is sitting by the cash register, again, that should confirm that he's a partner. Amai tzarech lirsham, forget about tagging. The answer is, Amri, himuni hamni, people will say, the coin sitting at the cash register is just looking after the cash. Because he's trusted by the Yid. Doesn't indicate partnership. And that's why you need to tag it. Well, by the guy as well. Maybe he's keeping an eye on the cash. Perhaps by the guy as well. Just trusting him to look. No. You don't trust the guy. Ein emuna b'avid kichav. The fact that he's sitting at the cash register indicates that he's a partner. Yibayi same. Another answer to this apparent conflict is. Stam o'avid kichav mifa poi. Both cases are speaking where the guy is simply present somewhere in the butcher store. The guy is, and in the case of the kohen is. What's the difference? The difference is like this. Stam guy gets involved. He lets his opinions be heard. Oh, you should sell it for more, for less. Ah. So that indicates that he's a partner. And eliminates any need to publicize that, to tag it, but your kohen, Rashi says, kohen that's a tzenua, a discreet person, certainly he's not a big, typically not a big expert in business, so he keeps himself, keeps in the back, he keeps to himself, in which case it's not clear that he's a shutuf, so you have to tag it to indicate that that's the reason for your exemption. Amar. Now, in the last case, we had Upsule Magdoshim and Tzarech Lirushim. If you're shechting Upsule Magdoshim, which is a reason for exemption, you don't have to be Roshim, you don't have to tag it. Alma Muchemos, apparently. The very fact that you're selling it in private, you don't sell it out in the butcher store, out in the market, in a disrespectful manner for the carbon, right? Even a form of carbon has to be treated with respect. So, the fact that you're selling it privately in a non-commercial setting is muchamusa, indicates what it is, and makes it evident why it's exempt. Really? You don't sell it out in the market? Well, non-tanan, we have a Mishnah which says that you could. Psula Mekdoshim, disqualified karbonis, and karm beitlis. They're meant to be sold out in the market. Meneshchotim beitlis, and shechted out there. Meneshkalm belitro, you weigh it on the scale like anything else. Rash explains, the reason is because these had to be redeemed, right? So if the purchaser knows that he can get a good return for it, he can sell it out in the market and get proper customers, he's more willing to invest in the animal and to offer a higher rate of redemption. So that's why it's allowed. You're allowed to go sell it in the market because ultimately it's for the benefit of Hegdish to receive a higher return, a higher offer for the Pidyon, which will be forwarded to the purchase of a new carbon. So bottom line is you are selling it out in the market like anything else. So where's the evidence that it's a Psula Mekdoshim? Why would anybody realize what it is? And when you exempt yourself from giving matanis, they'll suspect you of stealing. Tirgumar of Adabar Ava, he explained, Kameder Apapa, Bo'isan and Korim Techabais. We're not speaking about an ordinary Sulei Mekdoshim which are sold in the market, rather, we're speaking about those that are sold at home only. Rashi explains, there's an exception to that rule, which is Bechor and Maser. Bechor and Maser Behema, don't really belong to the Kohen, to the Hekdesh. Bechor is a Kohen which belongs to the Kohen, and Maser Behemah belongs to the Baalim. So if anything goes wrong there, you have to be paid there. Who ultimately benefits? The owners. So you have no right to degrade the carbon for your own personal benefits. You can't sell it out in the market, even though that's going to diminish its rate of return, because here the higher rate of redemption only benefits the owners. You have no right to do that at the expense of dishonoring the behemoth, the carbon. So in this case, says the Braisa, it's plain to all, plain for all to see. And this is a unique animal, and that's why it's exempt from matanos. Speaking about partnerships, so to what extent does he have to be a partner to exempt the animal from matanos? And if he's a partner in just one part, does that exempt the entire animal? Amar Rav Huna, shutav b'roish. If the kohen is a partner in the head, where the lechi is situated, patur min alechi. So he's exempt from giving the lechi to a kohen. But the other elements of the matana, zroya and keva, he still has to give. So each item is dealt with separately. Shutav b'yad, if the kohen is a partner in the arm, patur min azroya. So he's exempt from that matana. But he has to give the rest. Shutav v'nimi ay. The shutav in the innards, patur min hakeva. V'chiyah b'Rav Amar says, no, it's all or nothing. Afilu shutav b'achas, even if he's only a partner on one element, patur mikulon. It's one package. If you're exempt on one, you're exempt on everything. Meis becomes a kash from a b'raisa, which indicates otherwise, that they're dealt with separately. Haroi shali v'kula shalcha. The kohen says, look, today I'm selling you the animal, but I'm holding on to the head. Head remains mine, the kohen's. Even if it's just a hundredth of that head, potter, so he's exempt. The animal is exempt. Another example, hayat shali v'kula shalcha. I'm keeping the hand, the rest is yours. Once again, afilu echad memeya biyad, even if he only owns a hundredth, one pot out of a hundred of that hand, potter, it's exempt. Third case, b'nei me'ayin shali v'kula shalach, the insides are mine, everything else is yours. Afilu echad memeya, it's only one in a hundred. Potter, it's exempt. Now, when we say exempt, what does that mean? He's exempt from the obligation pertaining to that particular limb, or the entire package. My love, let's assume patur min alechi. He's exempt from giving the lechi because it's partially owned by the kohen. But he must give the other two elements, v'chai b'kulon. Likewise, patur min azroya, v'chai b'kulon. In the case of the zroya, he's exempted from that, but he has to give the rest. In the third case, he's patur min akeva, that's off. But v'chai, he has to give the other ones b'kulon. No, patur mikulon. It certainly means that he's exempt from the entire package. Because if there's any element of partnership, it exempts everything. Well, if that's the case, for listening, patur mikulon, the b'raisa should specify. That's something you have to clarify. That is patur from everything. Why didn't the b'raisa say it like that? V'oitani. Furthermore, there's a b'raisa which clearly says that it's only a partial exemption. The kohen says, "Haroi shali v'kula shalcha, I'm keeping the head, the rest is yours." Afilach, maybe if he only owns one part of a hundred b'raisa in the head, patur min alechi, that exempts him from what? Only from the lechi, which is inside the roish. But he has to give the rest, v'chai b'kulon, and that's a straight out to yufta refutation on the shita of the chiyah barav to yufta. Amar Rav Chisda. Where was chiyah barav coming from? Why did he have this premise that it's all connected, it's all one bundle? And even a partial exemption exempts the entire thing. Hamas nisa tisei. He was misled by the apparent message in the following braisa that misled him. L'chiyah barav. The sign, you have a braisa. Oh, a full comprehensive list of all the matanis kuhuna, 24 in total. We all know about 24, but what are they? Here comes the braisa. The sign, esrim barav matanis kuhuna, there are 24 gifts given to kohanim to support them, to support their learning, right? V'chulo nitnu l'anu l'vanav. They were all gifted to Aaron and his children, b'chlal l'prat. The pasuk begins with a general, you know, reference to the matanos and then specifies them. That's klal prat, very similar to the klal prat formula that's learned throughout Shas. And secondly, ubris melach, they're enwrapped in the covenant of salt, which never spoils. And the message is klal mekayman, If one adheres to these things, he complies and he gives these matonis, good for him. Kilu kim klaloprat, it's like he fulfilled the entire Torah, which is laden with klaloprat, the formulas, ubris melach, and the bris melach that's linked to karbonis. Karbonis are based on bris melach, the eternal covenant between us and Hashem. And on the flip side, v'chol eiver alein, a person disregards these matonis, kilu eiver al klaloprat, ubris melach, it's like he transgresses all those wonderful things. Okay, what are these 24? Ve'elohe, divided into three categories. Eser, 10 of them are b'migdash, are specific to the Beis HaMikdash, meant to be consumed in Beis HaMikdash. Ve'arba v'yishalayim, 4 are consumed in Yishalayim. Ve'eser b'gvulim, and 10 throughout the, you know, the cities of Eretz Yisrael. What are the 10? Eser b'migdash, that's all the karbonis. Chatas, v'chatas o'if, v'asham v'adai, v'asham tolib, v'asham v'tzibur, public shlomims. The oil of mitzvahs, the alechem from shvuyos, lechem apanim, the weekly breads. She had menachos, leftover menachos. Nechaso aimed, they bring Pesach for a total of 10. Next, va'abrash b'yishalayim, the four of Yishalayim habchera. That's the firstborn b'chera, which the kohen can eat throughout the city. Va'bikurim, which the kohen can eat throughout Yishalayim. Umuram min ha'toyde me'el nozer, the part that's sectioned off from the toida and the el nozer given to a kohen. Now, in reality, these are two separate karbanis, but they're bundled together because they're very similar. So they're listed as one item. And number four are va'oreis kadashim, the hides of the karbanis given to the kohen. Third category, ve'eser b'gvum, 10 throughout the cities, which is truma, right? Truma gedoyla, truma smaser, the levi gives to the kohen, v'chala from the dover. So I guess the first shearings are matanais, umatanais, oh, sounds familiar, right? That's the Israel Chayim Akeva, which incidentally are bundled together as one item on the list, even though they're really three separate sections. That's going to be important for us. Upidin Ben, the five coins in exchange for the Bechor. Upidin Betach Hamor, right? The animal that's given in exchange for the firstborn donkey. Was the Achuza, a person donates an estate and ultimately it's not redeemed. It goes back to the, goes to the Kehanim. Stei Charamim, a person does a commitment called cherem, he donates his field as a cherem, it goes to the kohanim. He gets la ger, he falsely swears against the ger that he didn't, you know, steal from him, and then he admits he has to give the money. You know, if the ger really passed on, the money is forwarded to the kohanim. End of the list of 24. Now, Husavar, Chiya Barav understood the fact that the Brice lumps together all three matonis as one item on the list. Chadanino, apparently they're one inseparable entity. And therefore, if one is exempt from one, it's a total and comprehensive exemption. Inseparable. Veloy says the more incorrect. Because Atu, look, do you think Muram Mitoide Ve'el Nazar, those two items, part that is sectioned off the Itoide and El Nazar, the Kachashu Kachad, despite being counted as one, they're really one? Two separate karbanis, unrelated. Ella rather, since they're close enough, so they're lumped together as one item on the list. Doesn't mean they're really inseparable. Ella kivin the damla, since they're similar to each other, they're parts of the kachim kalim given to the kohen. Therefore, chashav kachad, we count them as one. Hachanami, here's what regarding the matonis. Technically, they're three separate things, but since they're similar, they're packaged as one item on the list. Hachanami, here as well, kivin the damla, since they're very similar to each other, chashav, lukachad, we count them as one, but technically they're three, and even if the partnership on one exempts that one, the other two elements are still obligated. Ibaila, now comes a new question. What about the reverse type of arrangement? The kohen says to the Yisrael, look, by the head, the rest of the animal remains mine. So within the head we have the chayayim. So the obligatory section is in the hands of the Yisrael, perhaps that obligates him. Or no, since the primary animal sitting by the kohen, Ma, what's the aloch? Basar chiyuvas linan. We focus on the obligated element, the section of the animal which is the matana, which is now the chiyuva is where it's gabi yisrael. It's by the yisrael. So it's chayiv. Oydilmo peras basar ikar behimas linan. We focus on the main part of the animal which is by the kayan. That exempts the entire animal. Vikar behim of the kayanu. Tashmai comes a right. Says the brayso. Oyvid kechavim the kayan. A guy or the havdalah kohen, she must return him with Yisrael Ligzis. It's their own animal, and they hired a yid to shear the wool. Potter, there's no obligation to give the first shearing to a kohen because the shearing is owned by a kohen or by a guy. However, alakech a geiz tzoynesh levgichov and potter meshagets. Likewise, the person buys the sharings of a guy. So basically, it's the guy's animal, and the Jew purchased the rights to share the wool. Potter mesh sagais. That too exempts him from giving reshes sagais. Because after all, the animal belongs to the guy, despite the fact that the sharings belongs to the Yisrael. But this is unique to reshes sagais. Because in a similar circumstance, if it would entail Zroyel Chayim V'keva, he would be Chayv. Meaning if the entire animal belongs to the Kain, but the specific sections within belong to the Yisrael, the sections that contain the obligatory elements of Zroyel, etc., he would be Chayv to give it. V'zechaymer, and here we find an advantage, one up, V'zroyel, Chayim V'keva, which supersedes Yoyis Merisagais. There's a Pshat Achronim explained. What's the difference? I mean, really, what's the difference between the two? I mean, either you look at the animal, you don't. You see, by Reishis Hageis, the first shearings really are a sampling of the whole thing. You have a mix of shearings, and part of it you take off and you give to the... So if the whole animal which is producing this whole supply is really belonging to a goy or a cut, the chiv never starts, it never takes off. As opposed to Zroya and Lachayayim, etc., it's not a chiv on the whole animal. Those specific limbs, that section, that element, belongs to the Kain. So if that is owned by Yisrael, he has to give it. Notwithstanding the fact that the rest of the animal belongs to a Kain, who cares? What you own is obligated. So that's the conclusion, Shema Mino. That allows us to confirm that, in fact, basar chiv azlinan. We focus on the actual obligatory elements. And who owns them? Shema Mino. That's a proper confirmation. Okay, so conclusion. We discussed being careful about the l'chayayim and the blood veins there, the chutin. We discussed a question of grabbing and taking, and turns out that Vinasan tells you you're meant to give it to the Kohen in a respectful, honorable way. He's not meant to grab or ask or take. We have the Chiddush that Rav Yosef tells us that a Kohen can actually help out a Talmud Chacham by sort of diverting, forwarding the Matanis to him in his time of need. We have the story of Rava who followed it in his case, and Rav Safra refrained. We have the Cholim, which sort of sided with Rav Safra. Spoke about the importance of being selective with respect to teaching Torah to proper Talmidim. Proceeded to the idea of a shutfas with a goy or a kohen, which exempts, but you meant to ensure that it's public knowledge, lest people draw the wrong conclusions regarding, you having taken away the matanis from the kohen, so you have to make sure that it's evident and known why you are keeping it. We discussed the extent of the exemption by a shutfus. Turns out that the shutfus only exempts that particular part of the shutfus, but the rest, which is Yisrael owned, is chay. We had a list of 24 matanis kahuna. An interesting shaila at the end, with a distinction between reshes hageis and matanis with respect to a behemoth which is owned primarily by a kohen and only partially by Yisrael. When it comes to reshes hageis, completely potter. But when it comes to matanis, it's all about who owns that particular part of the animal. Okay, thank you so much for joining. All the best to you, and always hatzlacha.